Oh! Every day, every hour, you are faithful, Lord. Oh, I must have every day. bless you.
Amen.
Are you happy to be in his house?
Amen.
You must be happy because this is a special week.
Amen.
This is the most important week in the mankind history.
Amen.
When the great victory was acquired.
Amen.
So we must rejoice. We must express our gratitude, our joy to our Lord, because if we are what we are today, if we can claim victory, it's because of what happened that week 2,000 years ago. Because all the heaven, all the creation was suspended that week.
Yes.
They didn't know what was going to happen because the angels were looking. They said, is it him that was sitting here? Is it him that we are glorifying? He's going to go through that crowd. So, is he going to accept it? Is he going to take it? Is he going to deny it? So it was very, very important for them.
Amen.
All the heaven went silent, expecting, waiting to see what will happen.
Amen.
The devil didn't know. Is it him? Is it not him? So everything was under expectation.
Amen.
It was a special week, but he proved to be the one who was
willing
to drink the cup and to redeem the whole humankind.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles. Romans chapter 8, 19 to 23. And then we read Philippians 2, 5 to 11. In Romans 8, 19 to 23, it says, for all, for the earnest expectation of the creature, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travels in pain together until now.
Amen.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Amen.
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 Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God.
Amen.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Calvary.
Amen.
We thank you for that holy week, O Lord, where the very reason you came on earth had to be fulfilled that week.
Yes.
You didn't run away. You were not a coward, O Lord.
Thank you.
You were defiant. You took the cup, O Lord.
Amen.
You drank it publicly, O Lord. And you defeated the devil.
Amen.
That's why you can stand today boldly, O Lord,
yes,
claiming that we are children of God.
Amen, Jesus.
That's why we are claiming that Redemption is ours, O Lord.
Amen.
We stand now before thee, O Lord, asking for your mercy, asking, O Lord, that you should lead us through the sermon, O Lord,
yes, Lord,
so that you take the leadership, yes, and we can sit and listen to you.
Yes, Lord.
Let us be fed by yourself, O Lord,
yes,
as we commit this into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So, as we said, this week is a special week.
Yeah.
It's the week when everything happened. When our religion became really a religion. When our Lord Jesus Christ accepted to go through his passion, death, and resurrection. So, we are going to see a subject today. If sister can put the slides. The way to adoption.
Amen.
Through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see how he achieved his adoption.
Amen.
And see how what is expected from us to achieve the same adoption.
Amen.
Because we see our Lord Jesus Christ, today we're going to see the first part, which is the last week of our Lord on earth. We are going to see exactly how he spent that week, hour after hour. Because he was so busy doing the Father's business that anything else didn't count for him.
Amen.
That week he stayed so focused because he knew there was still a lot to do. He didn't care about his death. He didn't care about what will happen to him because he knew what was waiting for him. Way forward. But far beyond, before even he became a man, when God was looking for a redeemer, he accepted. Before the angel, everything, he accepted. The Father asked him, are you willing to go? You know what is expected for you there. He said, Father, yes, I will go. From his throne, from his majesty, being worshipped day after day by the angels, he knew that he has to humble himself.
Amen.
He had to go and be born in a manger, in poverty, be made fun of, laughed after, and he accepted that. He came on earth, born the kind of birth we knew, with no reputation.
That's right.
He accepted to live that life.
Amen.
So it was not easy for all the creation to see that man. The angel couldn't understand. It was too much for them. It's him that we worship here. But he's gone there. They could see him as a little child playing in the mud in extreme poverty. Because he was born from a care father who was a carpenter. He was not a minister. He was not a president or whatever. So he accepted to humble himself. He went through the life he went through, and he came to that major junction in his ministry,
Amen,
where he has to go now through what he was supposed to go through.
Mm-hmm.
If we read the Bible, we'll see that last week, Jesus spent it in Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
Bethany, where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were living.
Right.
He spent that week in Bethany. So, I just want to study what Bethany, why did he spend that week in Bethany? He could live in Jerusalem, which was a major city, and everything. He was spending all the days in Jerusalem, but why was he going to live in Bethany? When we go to the history, to the meaning of that town, Bethany, it means house of poverty or house of misery. It means also house of grace, house of mercy.
Amen.
So, day Amen. After day, if you read from John 11, let's say John 12, up to his crucifixion, Matthew 21, up to his crucifixion, you will see that every single night, he spent it on that day in Bethany. In John chapter 12, from verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was with, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So from that day on, you'll see he was staying in Bethany. Every day, every single day, he would go to bed to Jerusalem. He didn't spend any single day without going to Jerusalem. But in the night, he'd come back and sleep in Bethany. Bethany was that town which meant poverty, house of misery. The Lord God, who was living, the possessor of everything, had to go and sleep in the house of misery where nothing could attract. Because if we go, we see the major towns of Israel that time, Bethany was not mentioned.
That's right.
We had Jerusalem, we had many big major cities, but Bethany was a very little small town. That's where he left. That's where he lived all the days before his crucifixion. It meant also house of grace. So he knew that the work of grace is awaiting, is to be fulfilled now. He has to go there to accumulate, to store a lot of grace in him, a lot of energy with him to face what was before him, to go and acquire grace for the humanity. So Jesus spent all that time between Jerusalem and Bethany. The day, in John 12, we see one, the day before, 6 days before the Passover, he was there. If we're going to see the timeline, how the timeline of that week was. So there, this is the day before the Passover was the 14th. If you read in Genesis, in Exodus, you'll see the 14th day of the first month, it was the Passover. So 6 days before that, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Because the way they were counting that time, they were not counting like us, starting from zero. They're counting from the first day, included to the last day. So 6 days, it would go there. It was a Sabbath when he was sitting, eating with Lazarus. So the next day, the first day of the Sunday, sorry, it was the 10th, Nisan the 10th, that the day he entered Jerusalem.
That's right.
So after the Sabbath, if you read that verse, you will see, after the Sabbath, the next day he entered Jerusalem, he was accepted, greeted with triumph in Jerusalem, into Jerusalem. And when he went in there, you know, the people were under expectation. If we go, we put ourselves in the mood of that time, Israel, the land was under Roman occupation. So the people were expecting for a Messiah. They were expecting for a liberator. And they knew this Jesus was claiming himself to be the Messiah. The Messiah they were expecting. So they thought his entry into Jerusalem, the crowd were mixed. There were many expectations among the people. Many of them thought he's coming to take control, to cast out the Romans. That's why some of them were singing, "Hosanna to the son of David, the king of Israel has come." Because they were expecting him to cast out the Romans.
Right.
Some were his disciples, who knew who he was exactly, who knew he was the Messiah they were expecting. Some, they were just curious people that came because he fed them someday, because he was healing people. So the crowd was a mixed crowd, but the mood was a festive mood. Because don't forget that week, there was 3 major feasts in that same week. It was the Passover first, and then after the Passover, the day after the Passover, it was the unleavened bread fest. And the next day after the Sabbath, after the Passover, it was the first fruit. So it was 3 major feasts happening in that same period. And especially this one, the unleavened bread was a major celebration in Israel. Because the Passover, they were killing the lamb in the evening of this day. Mm-hmm. But in that time, remember, the day was not starting as we count days now. The day starts at midnight and finishes midnight the next day. That time they were counting the day from sunset to sunset. So let's say 6 p.m. was the beginning of the day. So when they were killing the lamb here, it was the end of the Passover day. But the celebration of the Passover was overlapping with the unleavened bread. Because when they left Israel, it was in hurry, as we know, when they left Egypt. They didn't have time to celebrate. So the celebration of the Passover was happening in the day, the start of the unleavened bread day. So it was a week where there was a lot of movement, there was a lot of motion around the town. People were under very high expectation, and people came from all over the country to celebrate because it was a holy convocation. So they were expecting that when Jesus is coming, you know, there were people who were expecting to make trouble. They were expecting, because they were the zealots who were against the Roman government, they were expecting Jesus as a liberator, as a general, who will lead them through a big rebellion to cast out the Romans out of the country. So, Jesus go, so famous that he was, knowing that it's only a few days left for him to die, he knew he has a task to complete. He has the Father's business to do. So when he got into the town, after all the ovations, after all the singing for him, instead of he didn't get caught by that popularity, the first thing he did, if you read your Bible, he go into the temple and cast out all the traders.
Amen.
He cast them out, he cleaned the temple, and start preaching. So, a few days before he died, he was put to death. The first thing he did into the Jerusalem was cleaning the temple and starting preaching the word. He didn't care about what people would say. Because if he wanted his own glory, he knew that the people were claiming him. The people were after him. He could, you know, gather a lot of popularity and stand against whatever the guy, the Pharisees, was planning, plotting against him, and get the support of the people to avoid him to be killed. But he didn't care about that. What mattered for him was to do the Father's business.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Is it clear enough?
Amen.
Because I don't want to give too much, but let's go very slowly.
Amen.
So, we see he spent all that day teaching about many major doctrines that we have today. Many of the teaching, the great teaching that we have about the doctrine of the Christianity today, were preached between his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and his crucifixion. So he knew that there was no time anymore. He knew that his days were numbered. So instead of caring about his life, instead of caring about what will happen to me, Jesus spent that time trying to fulfill, to finish the job he was sent for.
Amen.
The Father's business was more important for him than caring about his own life, than trying to escape or whatever. He knew that he's going to be put to death. He knew that the Pharisees were waiting for him to make a mistake, so that they could catch him and accuse him and kill him. But one interesting thing, Jesus didn't avoid to go to Jerusalem. Every single day,
Amen.
He would go and sleep in Bethany, in the morning, back into Jerusalem. And when he goes there, he doesn't go to please people. He says things that will hurt. He speaks against the Pharisees. If you read your Bible, most of his harshest speech against the Pharisees were done right. between these 5 days.
Mm.
Because
right.
if you count the days, this is the day he entered Jerusalem. 1, 2, 3, 4, and he is arrested there, the 5th day. All these days, one of, you know, his harshest attacks against the Pharisees happened there.
Mm.
He didn't care, because he could, knowing that the Pharisees, if you read your Bible, you'll see the Pharisees wanted to kill him, but they were afraid of the people.
Mm.
Sometimes they wanted to kill him, to take him and go and stone him, but they know what? These people, they think he is the Messiah. So if we do this, the people will arise against us, and it will be bad. Even the Roman government didn't want any rebellion in the country at that time. So Jesus could have used that to gather the people around him, to get support of the people, because the Pharisees were, you know, the Pharisees were afraid of the people. Jesus could look to gain the sympathy of the people to avoid his death. But he didn't do that.
Amen.
It was a festive week. A week in which the economy of the country needed to be in good position. But what he did, he went and destroyed the commerce, the trade, everything that was around the temple. Because people were, it was a time where a lot of business was being done. Because people were gathering from everywhere. They were selling lambs. Remember, this first feast here, the unleavened bread, it was a 7 days feast. So every day there was an offering. People were buying stuffs to go to bring to the temple to offer. They were buying pigeons, doves, and whatever. So it was a week where the economy of the country was, you know, centered towards Jerusalem. No one needed the business to be disturbed. But Jesus, instead of caring of that, because people claimed him as a king when he comes to fix the economy. A king when he comes to fix that whatever things is not good in the country. But him he comes, he destroyed the commerce. He destroyed the trade. People could say, but now we can't sell, we can't buy. This man we thought is coming to liberate us from the Romans, but see what he's doing now. I can't go to sell anymore. I can't. My business is dead. So the same people, the very people that he could use as a shield against the Romans, he was turning them against himself.
Mm.
Not for the sake of turning them against himself, but for the Father's business.
Amen.
The only thing that matters for Jesus was the aim for it, for which he came on earth, which was to do the Father's business.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So, we see, if you go back in the Old Testament, the lamb, this is the day that they had to select the lamb. The day he entered Jerusalem, in Moses' law, they had to choose a lamb, a blameless lamb, and choose it this day, and keep it for 5 days before it was killed that day as a Passover offering. So Jesus, on the 10th, the first day of the week, which is our Sunday today, he entered Jerusalem as the lamb who was chosen to be kept 5 days before he was killed as a lamb sacrifice.
Amen.
So, for these 5 days, in Moses' law, the lamb was to be observed. If he was sick, it would be declared during these 5 days.
Yeah.
If he had a fault or whatever, during these 5 days, they would know the lamb is not okay to be offered.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus showed himself in the temple on the 10th, and day after day, he was going in and out the temple, and the Pharisees came. Read your Bible, you'll see. They were trying to attract him by his own words.
Mm.
They were trying to catch him. They would come with one situation. Jesus, look this coin. Which should we pay taxes or whatever? In order for them to find a fault and accuse him.
Mm.
But he would stand and give the word of wisdom. Amen. So they tested him in many ways. They couldn't find any fault in him. The lamb that was offered that day, that same lamb was kept 5 days, and if it was blameless, then the lamb was ready to be offered for the Passover. Jesus went to the temple every single day. They came every day with something else to trap him. Jesus, you said at the resurrection, this will happen. So if that man, that woman have had, a brother, 7 brothers. So what will happen at the resurrection? Trying to find a way to catch him. But he proved that he was the blameless lamb that was ready to die for the humanity.
Amen.
So, all the 5 days, Jesus was going in and out better. Comes to the temple, goes back. Very busy. What was he doing all that time? All the major doctrines regarding the second coming of the Lord. Because he saw that he spent almost, the major part of his life, but he didn't say anything yet to prepare the disciple to do the job, to carry on the job. He didn't speak much about his second coming. So all these major doctrines, Matthew 24, the second coming of the Lord, the 10 virgins, the last judgment, all those major doctrines were taught around that time. Because he knew there's no time anymore. I spent almost my life. It's now time to finish the Father's business.
Amen.
Someone who knew that he's going to die a few days, forward, but he was very busy. And if you read John chapter 12, from chapter 13 to chapter 17, what you will see there is only Jesus speaking, restless. And what is he speaking about? I've counted from chapter 13 to chapter 16, 47 times he's speaking about the Father in my Father's house. My Father is bigger than me. My Father sent me. Who saw me saw the Father. So he's busy only talking about his Father. Nothing else. Not about himself. Busy talking about the Father's business. In my Father's house, there's many houses. If I go there, you'll come after me. But show us the Father. Who saw me saw the Father. So he was busy looking after the Father's business. That's all that he did. He didn't care about himself. He spoke a little about his death, but he spoke more about his Father. He spoke more about what will happen to his disciple if they want to follow his way. He showed them what will happen to them. See the way I followed. They'll kill me. They'll do this to me. You too, if you want to be my disciple, you have to go through the same way. Amen.
Amen.
So, that's how our Lord spent those days, trying to fulfill the business, trying to finish the job, because there was a job to be finished, and he spent all those days trying to finish the job. So, after spending all this day, on the 14th, the Passover day, the lamb was killed here, as we said, in the evening of that day. It was eaten during this time. So, from there, everything, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, his arrest, his trial, his condemnation, and his killing, all happened from there to there, and his burial, during this same day. Because this unleavened bread day, it was also called the Passover day because they were celebrating the feast of the Passover during this day. The Passover was killed here, but the celebration was happening during this day. So, it was that time, that day, that he gave everything. He gave himself, was put to death, but we see the last few days, the last few days of his life of his, he spent it speaking, talking about the Father's business only. He was a child submitted to the Father's will. He was the child who gave himself willingly so that the Father could take all the glory. That's why we read. One thing that happened again, only during that time, after his entrance into Jerusalem, the next day when he went back to sleep in Bethany, in the morning when he came, was coming, that's when he cursed the fig tree. It was during that time he curses the fig tree. Why did he curse the fig tree? He was looking for something to eat. He was hungry. But the fig tree was not doing the job it was intended to do, looking after the Father's business. So he came, he said, give me something to eat. I put you there. I created you so that you can produce fruit and people can feed from you. Give me something to eat. The fruit, the tree didn't have anything to give out. He cursed it. So it showed us that he was so busy looking after the Father's business that he wanted every one of us to be busy doing the same thing.
Amen.
You only get blessed if you produce what is intended you to produce.
Amen.
Otherwise, you are not looking after the Father's business.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So, he went. We know he was killed. We know he went into the tomb. We know. We'll talk about more of it in the next part. But we know what happened. After the resurrection, we read in Philippians, and being, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So to get to that extent, to get to that level of glory, see the way he had to go through. It was not an easy, a bed of easiness.
That's right.
It was not a bed of laziness. It was something he had to work very, very hard. You know, it was something you had to shed his blood. Yet something he had to go through, a lot of sufferings, humiliation, the Bible says, taking himself of no reputation, lose his reputation, die to himself, you know, abandon, renounce to his own self.
Amen.
He had to take that course.
Amen.
He had to go through that way for him to get to that level of high exaltation.
Amen.
So, are you expecting to be exalted while you are sitting on a bed of easiness? We are talking about the way to adoption.
Amen.
It's not an easy way.
That's right.
The Father will test you. The Father will try you. The Father wants to see his image in you. Amen.
Amen.
The Father wants to see his character in you.
Amen.
Before you get exalted the way Jesus was exalted.
Amen.
Jesus didn't follow his own glory. He didn't follow his own way. Because you know, if he wanted, the devil wanted to give him the kingdom.
That's right.
Before the cross. Amen.
Amen.
The devil wanted to give me the glory before the cross.
Yeah,
he could have
right.
chosen the easy way of taking the kingdom, ruling over the earth, without
right.
going by getting money,
yeah,
without
right.
going by the cross.
That's
but
right.
he showed character.
Amen.
He showed, you know, he showed death to self.
Amen.
He accepted humiliation.
That's right.
Then came glorification.
Amen.
He accepted to be mocked at. He accepted to be made fun of. And then came glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, how could he go through that? Him who was the Lord of glory. Him who was above all heavens. How could he accept to go through that? The Bible tells us, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. So he accepted before the foundation of the world to become a lamb. Because there are many animals he could choose from to be. He could choose to be a goat. He could choose to be a donkey. He could choose to be anything. But before the foundation of the world, he took the nature of the lamb in him. And it got slain so that when he comes on earth, it was a lamb that was born. That's why when the Father sent him as a lamb, he wouldn't discuss, he wouldn't argue with the Father. He just said, Amen, Father.
Amen.
I'm going to that. Amen. He took the nature of the lamb in him for him to come and do the job that he had to go through. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we are expected to do the same thing. We are aiming to the adoption. We are aiming to the glory. We are aiming to authority over the earth. But authority, Brother Branham says, victory is not a gift. Victory is a character. You acquire victory by showing a character. In the army, they will train you through hardship. They will train you through sufferings. You know, I've been in the army myself. I know what it takes to become a soldier. I know what it takes to put on your beret. They don't offer you it. You know, in the army, we were told a gun won't give you a gun like this. No. A gun, they throw it at you. You have to fight to catch it. If you don't, you get hurt, it's your problem. So they just call you, Eli, why are you? The hard way. Everything is taught in the hard way in the army. Because they want to build a character in you so that when you go through the hardship of the war, when you go through the hardship of the battlefield, you will not be like a small boy, but you will face it and gain the victory.
Amen.
God wants to build that character in you and me. He wants us to go through that same way to acquire, to get that character so that he can see himself in us and give us the glory.
Amen.
Don't expect to get the glory. Don't expect the glory from sitting in the bed of laziness. Amen.
Amen.
Don't expect anything from there, because God is not a God of laziness. Amen. Himself, he worked hard to get the world to the way it is now.
Amen.
Himself, he had to make himself a man. He had to abandon himself. He had to abandon his position and come and go through the hard way to become what he has become. So, don't expect. That's why, even the way we teach our children, we have to be very careful. We have to be careful. Don't show your children that life is something very easy. Life, you know, life is easy. Daddy, I want this. Daddy, please, can I have this? You know, I saw, one day I was watching a documentary about this man who passed away, Michael Jackson. A big man, he was, I don't know, about past 34 or 50, sorry, 40 years old. He was in a shop, he was behaving like a small baby. I want this. Can I have this? He was buying anything, needless things. A big man, more than 40 years old, but he didn't get trained properly. I want this, I want that. And at the end of the shopping, he has a bunch of stuff that he didn't use even once. Why? Lack of character. We have to teach our children that life is a struggle. Life is a fight. I don't mean to let them suffer, but we have to show them that in life, to achieve something, you have to do it through work, through hard work. A child will not show in character. Me, what I do, if you don't want to show what we are expecting from you from your age, My son is there. He didn't get a Christmas present last year. Because I told him, no, I'm expecting that from James and Carmel, but not you. If James does that, I can accept. But I give you until to the end of the year. If I don't see any change, you have not Christmas present. And he didn't get it. So, God wants us to be trained as his soldiers, because we'll be put in the battlefield. And in that battlefield, there's hardship waiting for us.
Amen. Amen.
He showed us through his own child. A 1 week of suffering. A full life of suffering. But when it gets to the last part of his life, instead of rejoicing, or not only rejoicing, getting, you know, worried, getting sad, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. No. He was there standing. He took his stand.
Amen.
Day and night.
Amen.
He was in the temple. Day and night. Chasing out the people that, the traders and all the troublemakers. Mm. Doing this, doing that. So that even the people that were expecting him, because as I said before, if he wanted to attract sympathy, he could attract sympathy. And the Romans couldn't arrest him.
That's right.
Because there are this group of people, the zealots. If you've seen this Jesus speech, he never spoke against the zealots. We are talking against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and sometimes the Romans, sometimes the Samaritans. But the zealots, if you study history, you will see, they were thinking that Jesus was the... Because they were what we can call today the terrorists. They were the hard, you know, the hard guys. They wanted it the hard way. You want a war, we go with war. You want bomb, we put a bomb. And even among his disciples, he had one zealot. So the zealot thought that this man is the general we're expecting. Because he never spoke against them. It seemed like he was on their side. So, and that week, since it was a very, very bad week, there was a lot of motion in the town. So the zealots were expecting him to give a word so that the rebellion can start. And he could do it. He could use that opportunity to escape death. He had all the opportunities. But the zealots, I think they must have been disappointed when the Pharisees got the coin. Should we pay tax or not? The zealots were saying, this is it. It's going to give us now the instructions now. Because now it's, you know, raising against the Romans. If just it says you shouldn't pay taxes, the zealots will take their advance and attack the Romans. So they were expecting him to do something. But he just says, no. Which image is that? It's Caesar. Okay, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And to God what belongs. The zealots were disappointed. But this man, we thought he came for us. This is the general we're expecting, just to lead us to cast out the Romans. But him, his agenda was different.
Amen.
Father's business.
Amen.
That was his priority. Amen. Father's business. The zealot could liberate him. The zealot could help him escape. He could start a big rising, because the Bible said Pilate, when he was trying Jesus, he was even afraid of the reaction of the population. That's why he offered them Barabbas and Jesus. Because he knew there was an uprising in the building, in the town. So if Jesus wanted to use that opportunity to escape death, he had all the means. He was a popular guy. He had a zealot among his disciples. So that I think it was a James, the zealot. So the zealot could see, they said, he's our spy in Jesus' headquarters. So once Jesus give an instruction, James will come to tell us, and we'll get our secret plan, we'll get all the weapons and ammunition out, and we'll attack the Romans. They waited. James never brought the instructions. Jesus was busy about doing the Father's business.
Amen.
The Father's business was not to protect himself Father's business was to die. Father's business was to abandon himself. Father's business was to teach about what they should do after he's gone. That's the way to adoption. That's the way to our adoption. That's the way to your adoption. Doing the Father's business. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
So, now, we spoke about Jesus. Now, us. What's our part? Time is flying. What is expected for us? Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, my one preached many times about this sermon, our position in Christ, the adoption of the children, and this. So, from the scriptures we read in Romans, the nature is expecting you and me. Nature, from the day Adam fell in the garden, the nature has been submitted to vanity. And the nature, the creation, they are there groaning. The Bible says it's groaning. They want to see Adam. They are not used to the condition that we are now in. They are used. It was created. The creation was made in a way that a son of God, an image of God, was giving them instructions and they were obeying.
That's right.
Don't think the lion is happy to eat a man. Mm. It was not so at the beginning.
That's right.
Don't think the bear or whatever is happy to eat an antelope or what. It was not so at the beginning.
That's right.
Creation is groaning. They are searching. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? It's you and me. We are sitting in a bed of laziness, not doing our job. The way to adoption is our destiny.
Amen.
So the Father, as Brother Branham preached, the father should appoint a tutor over his children, over his child. If you want to give authority to that child, you put him under the authority of a tutor. The tutor would watch over the child. The tutor would teach the child about the father's image, the father, the character the father wants to see in the child. And the tutor would report regularly to the father about how the child is evolving. And we have a tutor today.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is there.
Amen.
He's watching. Right. The Holy Ghost in Jesus gave a good report so that the Father took him on the mountain of transfiguration. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. He has got all the authority now because I've seen him doing exactly what I wanted him to do.
Amen.
He's got the authority now. Hear him. Amen.
Amen.
Now the tutor is now watching over me, over every one of us. What report the tutor is giving about you? Rabbi Adam says, are you with me?
Amen.
In the spiritual adoption.
Amen.
Preached the 23rd of the 9th, 1956.
Amen.
The tutor always pointed the child to the father and to help him to believe the father.
Wow.
And then the tutor was a trainer. This morning as I was looking at my dear little companion, and I seen my little son when he throwed his little tantrum and the table with his little dish with his eggs and things that mother has worked so faithfully to fix for his breakfast.
Mm.
And she was trying to teach him to eat with his spoon.
Yes, sir.
And he wanted to take the wrong hand. Well, to me I said, let him have that hand. But the mother knew different.
Mm.
She knew if she let him keep on that way, she'd be either ambidextrous, or he would be left-handed. And that was not normal. So as a real trainer, she made him change hand. Though he didn't like it, but the mother knew what she was doing.
Amen.
We have a trainer today, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He knows what is best for us.
Amen.
In our own nature, in our own self, we want to do things that please us. We want to do things that please this flesh, that please self. But the Holy Ghost is there watching. The Holy Ghost is there. The Father has placed the Holy Ghost to watch what you want to do, and he knows how to do it. No, no, what you want to do is not good. You want to go and commit adultery. It will please your flesh, but it's not according to the Father's will. Don't do it. But humanly, you still want to do. Okay, drinking just one pint is not bad as long as I'm not drunk. The Holy Ghost, no. He'll tell you, don't do it.
Amen.
If you don't want to listen, see what will happen. And many a time, our trainer, the Holy Spirit,
yes, sir,
we try to do it the wrong way, but sometimes it hurts us. Sometimes we may lay on a bed of affliction. Sometimes the doctor may say that all hopes is gone, but it's the Holy Spirit teaching us to use the right hand.
Yeah.
He knows what's best. He knows how the Father wants it to be done. He is the trainer. And I thought, little Joseph, he wouldn't use the hand. So the mother reaches up and gets his flailing stick about so long. And she tapped it to the side.
Yes.
And he looked over to me. So the mother took a whip and gave it a good shamu, as we say in the family. So now the boy, he knew. Because sometimes with both parents, there's always some balance. Sometimes the father is there, the mother is there. So the children, they know. They know that mother is a bit tolerant, and dad is so... My Carmel knows it's daddy. When she wants to take advantage of something, she... Daddy. So when he gave a whip, the boy looked at the father. He was expecting the father to say, stop it, mommy. Don't beat him. But the father knew that what the mother is doing, she's a trainer. She knows better. If I intervene now to stop her, I'm not doing any good to that child. He'll be left-handed, and it will not be good when he grows up. So he knew there was an excess flesh in the boy that it has to be cut off.
Hey,
and the mother was using the right approach to cut the excess flesh. To circumcise him. It is not never pleasant. Circumcision is never a pleasant experience. Cutting off some part of your body. Cutting off some part of your habit. Because, you know, don't hide it to anyone. You know, sin is pleasant, isn't it? As human, in the human flesh, going and, you know, some rock and roll, it pleases the flesh. Going and drinking some pint pleases the flesh. So someone just comes and tells, no, you have to stop doing that. It takes a lot of abandon of yourself to accept it. But the Holy Ghost will come and tell you, I don't want you to do that. If you do, I'll take a whip. What I want to say is sometimes the bed of affliction. Sometimes you lose your job. Sometimes anything can happen to you. Things, everything is just broke. Nothing is working in your life. The Father, the Holy Ghost wants to teach you. He's leading you on the way to adoption. Amen. As a child, you have to accept it with joy. Because now we know. You know, when I was a child, when my dad was giving me a little whip, I would say, oh, this man doesn't love me. But today, I can see, I can read, I can take a book and read, I can write. So what that old man was doing that time, even though I thought it was something bad against me, but today I can see the full benefits. I can see my adoption. Amen. I can see that I can stand before a group of people and read a book and read in English, read in French and say something. So that old man, the thing is, was doing, even though for me, it was, I didn't understand it that time, but he knew better than me.
Amen.
That's the way to adoption. That's the way we have to go through to achieve adoption. By the school of the Holy Ghost. By the school of the tutor that the Father has established among above us. Amen. So, Brother Branham keeps on going. Sometimes we say, when the gospel is being preached, oh, I just go to my church and just believe it this way. But remember, the Holy Ghost knows best. It knows how to train you. Sometimes it taps the stick.
Yes, sir.
Corrects you.
Amen.
And you must remember,
Amen,
God made him the child trainer for the church.
Amen. Amen.
Our child trainer is the Holy
Ghost. Amen.
And the Holy Ghost is a dove. Are you okay?
Amen.
But the dove, sometimes it takes a... He went into the temple, the lamb took a whip and cut them out. For your good, for your interest, for your benefit, sometimes he has to become a lion for a while. And then, because you never, if he puts you on the bed of affliction, he never keep you there forever. It's for a time, for a season, so that you learn the lesson. Once you have learned the lesson, the dove will come back again and brood, console you under his wings of the mother dove. So, we have to take it that way. We are on a journey. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get so caught up in everyday's daily activities that we forget what we are here for. We came to Ireland.
Right.
Most of us here, we are foreigners. We came to Ireland not just to have good life, not to drive good cars, not to go, journeys, trips, east, west. We have a business to do. We have a job to do. God placed us in this country to do a job, to do the Father's business.
Amen.
The Father's business first is to live a good life yourself.
Amen.
Death to self.
Amen.
Because there's no point of going to testify if you are not a living testimony yourself.
Amen. That's right.
The world will look at you. What is telling us that we have to do this and that? But we saw him smoking a cigarette the other day. Say, no, don't follow what I do. Follow what I say. That's what the priest was telling us earlier. No. It was in Lingala. I don't know how to put it properly in English. Right? Say, children, but it's very funny in Lingala. You know, don't do what I do. You do what I say. And it's very popular there. So, death to self. Abandon of your ambitions. Brother Andrew has been speaking the last few weeks about the contest. Jesus went into Gethsemane, kneeling down, agonizing. Father, there was two options. He could run away. There was still a way. You know, the connections were still there. Simon or whoever, James and the other guys, they could still come find an escape for him. And he could go to Syria or whatever. He was there, kneeling down. He knew the time is now. They are approaching. And it's not an easy death, the crucifixion. If you ever studied history, crucifixion is not an easy death. It's a torturous death. Because he was hanged around 9 o'clock in the morning and expired around 3 p.m. 6 hours of very, very serious torture. 6 hours of agonizing suffering. He could find a way out. He could run away. He could do whatever he could do. But he accepted. He went through. Glory comes after victory. There's no easy way to glory. A child who is handled things easily, you will see that child will ruin the father's business.
Amen.
You know, we had a president in my country, he's famous, known of everywhere in the world, Mobutu. He looted the country in a way you never know. He looted the country. He was a billionaire, multi-billionaire. But he didn't train his children properly. So the children were, you know, daddy's boy. Wherever they go, they had the name. So anytime he goes into an office or whatever, the manager will go open the safe, anything that is in there, throw it at him and go. Easy life, plain everywhere. But the man died in 1997. By 1994, almost all of his children were dead. Almost all of them were dead completely. AIDS, you know, any kind of diseases, just like that. He didn't train them. He didn't give them the character. You know, power with no character is useless.
That's right.
Before God can give you the power, the authority over nature, he wants to see your character.
Amen.
You know, we have the power today to go and, you know, I don't know. The Bible says anything you say, ask whatever. So, but it's power under control. Because if it's just saying whatever I want, my neighbor just do something that I'm not pleased with, fire. You know, someone does step on my toes, hit him. No, it's power with character. Rains come, power and character, that's rain. If power is not associated with a good character, it's destruction. That's why the Lord wants us to gain that character. And the character is fashioned in us through suffering. Through the teaching of the tutor who is the Holy Ghost. Now, we are going to look through a few things in our lives. Because we have just spoken, you know, in general. But there are specific things that we need to look at. Because the Father's business is about doing everything that is required from us, by the Father from us. We can't inherit, we can't get that glory, we can't get to that position if in the simple things, in the daily simple things, we don't show the good character. We don't get the good report from the Holy Ghost. One of them is church attendance. You know, the way to adoption, God wants us to be at our post of duty.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, who is a church member? I don't know if I have the quote here. The prophet says, no, I don't have the quote, sorry. But he says, it was in the ordaining the deacons, when they were about to make the votes, they collect the deacons. They say, who can vote? Only the church members can vote. Who is the church member? Him who supports the church by his presence, his tithes, and his offerings. That's what is required from you to call yourself a church member. First, your presence. You have to attend services. And we can't understand. When the Father's business is being done on a Wednesday night, on a Friday night, the Father's business is being dealt with for no reason, then I don't blame, you know, I don't blame anyone. We know there are some genuine reasons. You are at work, you are sick, children, whatever. There are some genuine reasons. But for no reason, just stay home. When there's an offering being made to the Father, when the Father's business is being discussed, and you have made an agreement with the Father, that you will go to worship him on that day, you just stay home. You are not looking after the father business. Don't expect the exaltation that Jesus received. Don't expect the blessing on the position of a child, since you didn't show that character that the father wants to see from you. You'll ask, so, am I a Christian? Am I a child of God? You will still be a child of God. You are a child. If my child doesn't obey, I can't deny the fact that he is my child. You will still remain my child, but there is now limitations. Instead of getting the full power, the full authority as the father, as the son of his father, you'll see a 40 years old boy, man, but he's still the father always there. No, sit there. Don't sit there. No. You, I don't want you to touch that. Why? He didn't show the right character. He's still a son. The father won't deny him. His blood is in him. But the power, the authority, you'll never get it. I remember a story. My wife is there, she can tell. She has a cousin. He's a mixed race, you know, from a white man and a black woman. So, you know, you remember during the colonization, the white people, they just came and they could just make children and left. So that her poor cousin didn't know his father. So the mother was left with pregnant and born him and grew up. Very big man, he's now in his 50s. And he was very, you know, concerned about finding his father. He was trying to do his best to find his father. He went everywhere. He went to the Belgian embassy. He went to the Portuguese embassy. Everything he could hear from any clue, he would follow them to the clue. And God is good. He happened to discover the trace of his father. And he followed the trace, and he happened to find his real father. He was still living in Congo. He didn't leave. He went back to Portugal or Belgium and came back many years later. He was a prosperous businessman. He had shops, he had factories, he had many things. So the man, my wife's cousin, said, okay, you know, if he went to the embassy, he went to they followed the record and everything to assure him that the man was his father. So they get in contact with the man, and the man wanted to see him. But the man wanted to test his character first. He wanted to see if he'll show the right character. So the man went. He went to one of his father's offices. He found the workers there. He'd never been seen there. He'd never been introduced to the staffs. And he came, you know, started threatening everybody in the office. This is my father's office. You, what are you doing here? You, have you? So the boss came, his father came. He didn't even show up. He didn't even come to meet him. He was just watching from far. He said, this is a holy guy. So he didn't even want to meet him. He accepted being his father, but the authority over his possessions, he never got it. He never get him involved in his business. The man is still there, suffering in his position he was before he met his father. Because he didn't show the right character. The father wants to see, what image are you portraying? The man was expecting to see a son, a responsible man, come, even if he didn't know the father, even if he didn't get to live with him, but he was expecting something to get him introduced to his business, to establish him over his business. But the man didn't show the right character. He's still crumbling there. So, church attendance, we are to say, God wants to see what you are showing, what you are portraying. Another aspect, Bible reading. How many times do we read our Bible? Mm-hmm. How many times do we consecrate ourselves? How many times do we take to pray? Because Jesus, the Bible says, he was preaching in the day, was praying in the night. That's the way to his adoption. He was raised above all because he did that. Jesus was ready to drink the cup at Gethsemane. He was ready to go to the cross because he prayed. Because he was completely soaked in the scripture. The devil could come in any way to trap him. The Pharisees could come in any way to try and trap him. But he will reply, he will answer them by, it is written. It is also written. It is written that we'll do this, 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 this. Yes, but it is also written. How will you overcome the devil if you don't read your Bible? If you don't read the message? If you don't take time to consecrate yourself to God? There's 24 hours in a day. Ask yourself, how many hours do you give to the Lord?
Yes.
Ask yourself, how many minutes? Because if you go by the tithe law, I'm just illustrating something. If we have to give the tithe of everything we got from God, it's 2.4 hours we have to give to the Lord a day. I don't mean that, you know, but just understand how much God has given you. How much are you giving back to him? Is that doing the Father's business or doing your own business? Is that looking after the Father's business or is it after looking yourself's business? Very, very important. If we want to get anywhere in the Lord, if we want to get anywhere in that position of command, of authority, that's a very important point to consider. You mothers, how do you raise your children? What Abraham says, say something about the mothers here, let me find it. When I was a boy, dad was a different from what some of the modern fathers are. My daddy believed in giving whippings. He really gave them. We remembered them. And I yet today, at 47 years, I remember them. But it done me good. It strengthened me. If I could go to the grave today and raise him up, the first thing I'll do is shake his hand and hug him for what he has done for me. I feel that way. If I feel that way about my earthly father, what will it be that day when we stand in the presence and we see the things happen to us for our good? That he had to cut us a little bit here and chasten us and take up the things of the world and let us walk as humble children before him. May seem hard at the beginning, but God knows what he's doing. Sure, he knows what he's doing. And then as the Holy Spirit begin to bring the word, then, if the child has not been obedient when it becomes to of maturity, then the child is always a son, certainly, but it loses something.
Amen.
Do we want to lose something? We want to inherit our full heritage. We want to be, you know, owners, co-owners of everything that God has got. So that's why we have to work hard towards our adoption were to give full heed to what is being said, to what is being taught to us, because as we will see, there's many areas we are going to look to, many areas in our life, many small areas that we are always kind of negligent. We don't want to give more attention to this. We don't want to pay attention to this. Offerings in church, my brothers and sisters, sometimes I don't want to despise anything, but examine the way we give to the Lord. Amen. What do we put in the box here? Sometimes it's only our leftovers. The Bible says, don't come to the house of the Lord empty-handed. You know, there's many quotes. In the second part, we're going to speak about many of these things. Sometimes, you know, there's only one reference in the Bible. You know, that woman, she just gave 3 coins. You know. But if we go percentage-wise, she gave 100%.
Amen.
That woman gave 3 coins, but she gave 100%. You give today 50 euro, it's good, but how many percentage of it, your income it is? We don't want to go into controlling your life. It's about you and your Lord. Because you have to understand that running the church, you know, it takes expenses. There's a cost involved in the way we are sitting here. There's electricity going, we are heating the room, there's water over there, they are paying the rent, and you can't come to the house of the Lord empty-handed. We have to take care of the charge of the church.
That's
part of the character that God wants to see in us. That's the way to our adoption. How do you handle the responsibility that God gave you?
Amen.
When you go to the shops, you know, the 2 euros and the 50 cents and the 10 cents, they left over. You say, oh, okay. This is for my offering. And the 50s and the 20s, they are not even in the wallet. They are in the cart. Because if they are in the wallet, when I open to give the 20 cents, you know, the deacon will see, whatever is 50 euro, he gave 20 cents. So I won't take it out of my account. No. It's very, very important. We are not blessed because we are not giving back to God His due. Amen.
Amen.
There's blessings are waiting for us. They are stored for us. I'm talking about financial blessings. I'm talking about material blessings.
Amen.
No, we are too used about spiritual blessings. You know what, brother? We are blessed. The words, you know. No. You know, sometimes you have to say things in a different way. Amen. The word only won't pay your rent. If you give this Bible to our landlord, it won't pay the rent. We need money. And to get money, the law, even the world speaks about the law of giving and receiving. You have to spend many makes money. In the economy, that's what they say. You have to invest to get something back. You can't sit in your house and expect to become a millionaire from nothing. You have to invest a euro there, a franc, a cent there, and then in the return, you become a millionaire. God is expecting you to bring something in His house. There must be a change. You know, this basket, we need to see a change in this basket. We have to learn how to give to God. That's the only way we can get to our adoption.
Amen.
That part of our adoption as well.
Amen.
I know Brother Andrew may get cross against me. It's the word, you know. It's the word. It's made, God made in His way. God made some other people a different way. I will tell you things that I know will bless you, will bless me.
Amen.
If you keep it, we won't be blessed. Learn how to give to God.
Amen.
Bring something significant to the Lord. Don't bring your leftovers. Even in the Bible, they couldn't take a broken leg lamb to give to the Lord. because you knew it was useless. Because you knew it was something that won't help me. They couldn't give offer a dog. You know, a dog was not couldn't be offered as an offering to God. You know, something that you despise. Something that, no, you have to feel it. That I've given to my Lord. It must be some part of you. You feel that you have given something to the Lord.
Amen.
We are talking about the way to your adoption.
Amen.
You will get to your adoption if you obey these things.
Amen.
And you will be blessed.
Amen.
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 So, I think today we can stop here.
Amen.
God has been so good to us.
Amen.
Forgive me if I have offended you.
Amen.
But that's part of the Father's business. Amen. I have to do the Father's business as well.
Amen.
So let's keep in mind that we have a big responsibility. The nature, creation is watching, is looking at you and me. We were speaking the other day about the dead. They are expecting, they are waiting for you and me. We are the one who will bring the old body to the resurrection.
That's right.
Our faith will lift the old body to the rapture.
Amen.
So if we are unfaithful to these small, small things, how will we get the faith of the resurrection?
Amen.
How will we get the faith of the rapture? Amen.
Amen.
So, there's a last post here to finish. Abraham says, notice, then if the child did prove to be a real worthy of the things of that the father had over this kingdom, and had been a real faithful child, then the tutor brought the message to the father. Oh, your son. Oh, that the message I want him to bring for you and I. Oh, your son, his world thoughts is upon you. All he's trying to do is to please you. He's so interested in your affairs till it's hard to hold him down. I'd rather be just little overzealous about the Father's kingdom than to have no zeal at all for it.
Amen.
I'd rather overwork. Amen.
Amen.
So let's keep that in mind.
Amen.
As we go through this Holy Week, we know we are trying to keep it under this framework, how our Lord, how he went the way to his adoption.
Amen.
Next time we're going to see the atonement, the burial, how it was aimed to reaching the adoption, to reaching power and authority. And the last part would be about the resurrection. Amen. So we praise the Lord and keep us in prayer.
Amen.
We do believe that it will be a real blessing, and the Lord will really bless the week.
Amen.
Let's commit the rest of the services, because Friday we have a service and Sunday we have two services. So keep the all offices, the all church in the hands of the Lord, so that we really have. He should grant us a really blessed Easter week.
Amen.
And many, many good blessings and a new beginning for the years to come.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand on our feet. Oh, be like Jesus.
Do
oh, Lord, I'm just
It should be our earnest desire in our hearts to be like Jesus. Being like Jesus is not a slogan. Being like Jesus is not a trend, but is a character. It's a real life. And when we say being like Jesus, we have to meditate upon what Jesus went through to be what he is today. Accept to be humiliated, taken from his glory, being born in a manger, live a life of abandonment, and go to the depths, a shameful death, naked at the cross, and being buried in a borrowed tomb. All that because of you and me. Because he wanted to show us the way.
Amen.
That's why you and me, we have to abandon ourselves. In our daily life, try to be like Jesus. Try to promote the kingdom's business. Try to work for the Father's business. If we can only understand that, we have won the victory.
Amen.
Let's keep this in mind. Let's consecrate ourselves to all this week. Let's take our time. Let's put down my time aside.
Amen.
To pray and go through the reading and the meditating of the word. So that this week will be a really blessing for us. Let's really commit our tomorrows in God's hands. So that we'll be prepared to take the cross, abandon ourselves, drop ourselves, drop our human carnal nature, and become like him.
Amen.
What do you call Brother Vladimir to come and pray for us?
Just come back once more in your presence, Lord.
Amen.
We are so thankful for word. We want to just be part of your presence, Lord.
Amen.
Help us that your spirit will stay with us.
Amen.
Like David says, Lord, you spoke once, but I heard twice.
Amen.
Lord, we can testify that you have been real today, Lord.
Amen.
What we want, that you want to be real tomorrow also, Lord.
Amen.
That you will stay with us, Lord. Because you promised that you will never leave us alone, Lord. That's your promise, Lord. And so we want to just stay humble, Lord.
Amen.
That you can stay with us, because we believe that you, through Holy Spirit, you are like a dove. And you easily depart if we show sticky nature, Lord. Help us this evening while we consecrate ourselves to you, Lord, that you will really cut everything from us, that we come in submissive will, that we will really submit to ourselves, to you, O Lord, to your will, that you can really teach us how to do your business, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, because you will never allow us to do anything what is great in your eyes, O Lord. Sometimes we think we are doing great things, but Lord, we are looking and we are just like children, O Lord. Help us to be adopted children. Help us to come to that position that we really, that we really strand up those things which are lost in our lives. Help us in our families, especially with our children, O Lord, also, that we can be light for them. Not just for them, for our neighbors, wherever we are, O Lord. We just commit ourselves into your hands, committing our lives into your hands, O Lord. Just we want to confess, O Lord, to you, that you are God, that you are our Father, that you know the best way for us, O Lord. Take away all dross, like we sing from that song. Take away all dross from our lives, O Lord. Our sins, trespasses, O Lord. Help us just to bring everything to you under your feet, O Lord. On Calvary, once more, O Lord. O Lord. we ask just like that song says, only your mercy and your grace, O Lord. We don't want law. We want you. We want your love, O Lord. We are so thankful this evening. We commit everything into your hands, even our journey, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As we dismiss.